And now we're joined by Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News. Obviously, he covers the Giants. And it's funny you mentioned Tom Brady. Once one of the reasons the Patriots ended up winning the Super Bowl this year, Cliff Avril leaves that game. They didn't get any pressure on Brady in the fourth quarter. Patriots score touchdowns on two consecutive possessions to win the football game.
Absolutely. And the Patriots, the Seahawks had talked all week about the lessons they had learned from the Giants. And it's not a secret. It's really for any quarterback. If you can't get pressure on a great quarterback, you can't stop him. And Brady, just like every other quarterback, can be rattled a little bit, just game changes. And, you know, once their best pass rusher was gone, their game plan had to change.
And no question about it. And, indeed, I think it's funny, as we move forward here, and Ralph, do you think, because to me, based on the press conferences after the season were over, we listened to Jerry Reese, we listened to Colin Coughlin, we listened to John Mayer. They talked about the strength and weaknesses of the team. To me, if Tom Coughlin's the man by himself making these decisions, you're going to see a lot of help up front on both sides of the football. He seemed to me, his emphasis was run the football better, stop the run better. And those are jobs one and two for the Giants as they approach this offseason.
Yeah, I think so. And it's honestly not a new approach. We heard him talk about that in the previous season.
That's correct.
And, you know, it's the key to winning football. It's great to have guys like Odell Beckham. Obviously, that's not or Victor Cruz. Those guys, they wouldn't give them up in a million years. But they're not going to help you if you can't stop the other team's running game, get to the quarterback, and you can't protect your quarterback. Odell Beckham, as good as he is completely useless if Eli Manning has to throw the ball in 2 seconds because he's lying on his back from a pass rush. So they need to upgrade both lines. You know, whether they do it in free agency, whether they do it at the ninth pick in the draft, all that remains to be seen. But you know, the strength of the Giants' two Super Bowl teams were those two lines.
All right, so you're really active on Twitter, and you react, you respond to a lot of the Giants fans out there. They're obviously watching this program. What are they communicating to you? What would the Giants, I mean, we could sit here and say, okay, well, this is the need that I think that and you think, and but what are Giants fans saying to you on Twitter? What need would they like the Giants to go out in?
It's a family show, so I've got to censor most of what people are saying to me on Twitter. But okay. as far as what the Giants need, look, there's obviously a lot of frustration with Giants fans over the last few years. But I do get the sense that, you know, they understand that the line has to be better, that both lines have to be better. Now, I don't know that an offensive lineman being picked at number 9 is a very sexy pick, or
right,
even if you use all your free agent money on an offensive lineman, it's not sexy. I think that fans kind of get starry-eyed this time of year and think, let me get the top receiver, the great pass rusher, whatever, and there's arguments to be made for that. But I think deep down they understand that this is a trench warfare game. You need to dominate on those lines. They know that the Giants have just not measured up.
Well, I do feel that New York sports fans are a little bit more educated than I think in most parts.
Sometimes.
I do. I mean, listen, I'm from Miami. I've hosted sports talk radio pretty much throughout the country.
That's a great point.
And I do feel that New York, especially Giants fans, are pretty knowledgeable. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I call them dancing bears. No disrespect. Roman Omid is off to the side here. He's going to join us a little bit later on the show.
Hi, Roman.
but no, it's not sexy. But also, keep in mind, Dallas Cowboys in the division. You saw what that
right
offensive line was able to do and how DeMarco Murray was able to run the ball. There's got to be excitement and an understanding. Well, if that's the formula the Dallas Cowboys are using and they're having success with it, well, then let's try to emulate that.
And if you to emphasize your point, even as Odell Beckham was starting to get going last year before he became the mind-boggling superstar that he's sort of morphed into, there were a lot of fans that were still saying, we really should have taken Zach Martin instead, because they
right
saw what was happening with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Ralph, frankly, you can make the argument. I mean, look, Odell Beckham played in the games he played in. I don't know exactly what his record is in the games he played in, but you can make the argument if the Giants draft Zach Martin, they might have actually finished with more wins than they did with Odell Beckham, only because of the number of games that he played and the time it took for Beckham to morph into the superstar. I think there is an argument to be made. Not that I'm giving Beckham back. I'm not.
Right,
let's
right
not go nuts here. But you can make the argument. And look, the pick might not sound sexy when you make it, but when you're 12-4 going into the playoffs, all of a sudden that's the sexiest pick you could ever make.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, look, you look at what the Cowboys did. And I remember writing about this last year. They, over 3 or 4 years, just used all their top picks on offensive linemen. They rebuilt that line entirely, and it takes some time. And you look at what the Giants have done. Well, Justin Pugh was a first rounder. Will Beattie, for whatever faults he has, was a second rounder. You know, Jeff Schwartz is a big money free agent, not a
Richburg.
Huge money. Richburg is a second rounder. So the Giants, it's not the same as using first round picks, but little by little, they're starting to get guys with a pedigree, with talent, They still need a little bit more. It's going to need some time to be put together. But I do think fans understand that that's the basis of winning football.
Again, we're coming to you live from Indianapolis, home of the 2015 Combine, like it is each and every year. And not only are we here to watch, of course, the players perform and they're getting evaluated by all the teams, but there are scouts, there are agents here, and I know we're, as media folk, we're mixing and we're mingling with them. What are you hearing out there in the functions and the parties and the sports bars you're attending? What are you hearing in regard to what you think the Giants are going to do with that number one pick?
You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of it, from the belief around the league, a lot of it hinges on what happens with Jason Pierre-Paul. We're all assuming Jason Pierre-Paul will get the franchise tag. I believe that he will.
And based on what Tom Coughlin said yesterday, it does sound even more so like that.
Exactly. Now, if they somehow didn't franchise tag him, everybody in the world believes the Giants would then use the ninth pick right on a pass rusher because they have no pass rush left. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they feel that the Giants probably will go offensive line, but when you're in the top 10, there's always the temptation for that playmaker. Another pass rusher would not, even with Jason Pierre-Paul back, a top defensive end would not be a bad idea for the Giants. They might need a safety if they let Anshul Roll go. They probably have enough cornerbacks now. Another receiver, it seems a little ridiculous, but is anybody 100% sure that Victor Cruz is going to return as Victor Cruz? And if you're not, another receiver makes a little bit of sense. So there's some feeling that, you know, maybe they could be tempted by a playmaker, but it's always followed by if they're smart, they'll stick to the plan and find that stud tackle to they'll figure out where to play him later on. Just get one of those really young offensive linemen that can play for you for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick note here. I know we've said this before on Big Blue Kickoff Live, John, and that is in the history of the NFL, there is no case here or record to know how a wide receiver at that position could come back from a torn tendon.
Yep.
Yes, a torn ACL, MCL, ligaments, but a patella tendon.
Serious
injury,
yeah.
So, I mean, this is like, you know, Victor Cruz will be really kind of setting a precedent in regard to what to expect. I know this injury doesn't happen often. It's not a frequent injury.
And we're probably not going to see him on the field till training camp.
I wouldn't think so. And until then, we're going to hear good reports because that's just the way it is. Oh, he's ahead of schedule. He's doing what we're expecting him to do.
He's going to start running next week, right, or next month?
Yeah, I think Tom Coughlin said soon, I think. I can't remember exactly when it was supposed to be. But the bottom line is, and I'm not doubting Victor Cruz's ability to come back at all, but we heard a lot of these same things about Steve Smith back in the day. Oh, he's ahead of schedule. He's going to make a comeback. It never happens. So it's just something you don't know. Will he make it back? Will he ever be the same? There's no way to know that. And if you're a smart organization, you've got to hedge your bets a little bit in case you're going to lose a guy like that.
And I'm not sure you hedge your bet with necessarily a first-round
pick.
Right,
I'm not advocating that.
Certainly, or later in the draft, you can pick a young guy to try to work into that role. And I think it's a little too early. Obviously, if we're here, we have to do it, to determine where the Giants should go with these picks until we get to free agency, Ralph.
Right.
And I think we have 3 weeks, though, before free agency even starts. What type of moves, if any, would you expect the Giants to move before we get to that free agency period?
Before free agency, the first thing they're going to have to do, I think they're going to franchise Jason Pierre-Paul.
Okay.
That'll be the first thing I think they do. It's a little hard to figure out with the cap not being set, but we think they're going to have about $20 million in cap room. Jason Pierre-Paul will eat up $15 million of that if he's franchise tagged.
And then the draft class this year will eat up even more of that number.
Right. So basically, right away, all their cap room is gone. So they're going to have to create more. So I would anticipate things like probably cutting Matias Kiwanuka, probably cutting J.D. Walton. Right off the bat, that probably saves you roughly $5 million or something like that. I would think at some point you'll see an extension for Prince Amukamara. Maybe some restructuring of guys like John Beeson or, you know, who knows who else.
How about Eli?
That's a possibility. I think they'd like to. When I talk to people around the league about Eli Manning, there's a big divide on what his worth is and
really?
What the Giants should do.
That's interesting.
It's not, I mean, obviously he's thought of as a franchise quarterback. The problem is the going rate for a franchise quarterback is
$20
million,
yep.
Which is what the Giants are going to have to go.
What Eli's making 19, right?
Something like that. His cap number's 19. I think his salary is going to be 17.
Tell you what, quarterbacks all around the league are thanking Jay Cutler for that contract that he signed. Because they're only going to say, well, look what Jay Cutler's making.
Right. And you know, and I know the Tom Brady example, he takes a little bit less for the team. He's also got a wife who's making $20 million a year as a supermodel.
And he's also 4 or 5 years older than Eli, too.
Right. So Everybody believes Eli Manning is not, and most quarterbacks will not give a team a discount. He's going to get 4 more years, $20 million a year. The question is he really worth that at this age, or should the Giants, you know, let him play it out, franchise him next year? You know, there's a lot of, because of what he did 2 years ago, maybe you want to see his value first before you put a number on that. I don't think that's what the Giants will do, but some around the league think it wouldn't be the worst idea to let him play out the last year of that deal.
Wow.
Like, I understand, and I know there's a song written, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. Like, I get it, but I'm such a competitive person that, I mean, how much money do you really need in life, number one, okay? I mean, and let's be honest here. I mean, the Manning family, it's not only are you making, you know, of course, your salary, but the endorsements are ridiculous.
They would argue, though, it's about R-E-S-P-E-C-T and not necessarily the money.
But
they also had a song about that, by the way.
But you're right. But I'm so competitive, Ralph, that I probably would restructure because, to me, winning is there's a value in that.
Right.
There is a value in playing for a team that each year is going to be competing for a championship.
Right.
So that's just me. I'm not in their shoes. I mean, you know, it's very different.
But. With him, and not to bore people too much with cap figures and things like that, he's in the last year of the deal, so he can't really restructure. He's got to sign a new contract or an extension. He would be either taking market value or taking less than market value. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes on these high-profile guys, especially quarterbacks, from the union, from their agent.
That's a great
point. Tom Coughlin has a million quarterbacks. He doesn't want Eli taking $5 million under market value. So the next guy that comes up says, well, Eli only got $15 million a year. I'm not going to give you more than that. They want to keep the bar going, especially with the salary cap in the next couple of years is supposed to explode.
Really quick, I'm not just saying this because this is a Giants broadcast, but to me, you know what? That $5 million, I'll stay with this organization because this is a top five organization in the NFL. And for me, that's worth the $5 million. Dollars. I'd rather play here than in Cleveland or Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So that's worth it to me.
And the flip side of that is for the Giants, it should be worth whatever they have to pay Eli Manning because the option without Eli Manning is you may spend the next 5 years looking for a franchise.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, John Mara's got to wake up in the middle of the night thinking Dave Brown, Danny Cannell.
Right.
You know.
Right. You don't know. Now, maybe they, no pun intended, luck into an Andrew Luck or somebody like that. Maybe Ryan Nassib becomes the next superstar. Who knows?
And Tom Coughlin did say he thinks Ryan Nassib will be a starter in this league.
Right.
One day.
I don't buy that. But
he
I think that they may be trying to blow up the trade value a little bit for him. But you know, look, Eli Manning, even for the haters of Eli Manning, have to concede he's in the top half of the NFL.
Easily.
I would put him in the top 10 easily.
Yes.
And quarterbacks like that are so hard to find. Look at the bottom 15 teams in the league. That's what the Giants would be looking at if they suddenly decided, you know what, we're not paying Eli Manning. It would be a catastrophic mistake.
Just a quick note here. In regard to Nassib, let's just recall he had a really phenomenal preseason.
He did. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, when he had the opportunity, and whenever he came in at practice, I heard that he really did well at practice this year. So shout out to Nassib.
Yeah, he might be. Hey, look, he's a Syracuse guy. I love Syracuse guys. So he might turn out to be very good. But I think that the comfort level with what you have with Eli Manning compared to Ryan stepping in would be
absolutely
you just don't know.
And no question, the coaches love Ryan. He's been in there all offseason long working. He's a hard worker. He goes about his business the right way. Final question for me, Ralph. Mm-hmm. How long do you think this quote-unquote rebuilding process is for the Giants? You know, they've had two straight seasons not making the playoffs, 7-9, 6-10. Is this a thing where you can fix this as an offseason? You get Jeff Schwartz back. You make a great pick at 9. You add some guys in free agency. Can you be back challenging for the NFC East title this year if you make all the right moves?
Great question.
I'm going to shock you and probably everybody listening by being optimistic about the Giants here. I really do believe this. First of all, turnarounds in the NFL can happen very quickly. Now, I'm not saying turnaround from what they are to 14-2 Super Bowl, but I think they can win the NFC East next year. I think they definitely can be competitive for that. And what I base it on is last offseason, they spent a ton of money on a lot of players that were supposed to help them, and they were destroyed by injuries. It's like all the things they brought in to help did not help them. They're in a sense, I'd like to see them like bring Walt Thurman back, assuming Beeson comes back again. If they get a lot of these guys come back, it's like they're getting a mulligan on their offseason rebuilding plan last year and adding to it this year.
And Jeff Schwartz.
And absolutely. Jeff Schwartz, another one. You know, Rashad Jennings, assuming he stays healthy. I know there's a lot of ifs in there, but, you know, I liked their plan last year. I thought they had built themselves into maybe a 9-win team or so, maybe 10 wins.
I agree with you.
So would I forecast them to be 9-10 wins this year? Yeah, I think that's possible, you know, especially now you look at what Odell Beckham did. Maybe Victor Cruz comes back. With good health, there's the possibility that this year could be a playoff team.
Hard to believe. I love it. Only here at the Combine.
You got it, Ralph.
Yes,
great stuff.
It's all that late night drinking. It's really affected my brain.
Thank you, Ralph.
My pleasure.
That's Ralph Vacchiano of the New York Daily News. You thank him for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live from the Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We'll take.